Let's get started. Let's get started. Praise the Lord. The first part of the session, we was just trying to set some foundation. I think leaders should always let people know where you're going. Give people a picture. It's part of vision casting. It's a part of having people on the same page. As a leader, you should always, at the beginning of any endeavor, to let people know what's expected of them. That should be clear. So there were some leadership things that I did in the first session. Now, I know you took notes, but I want you to go back and think about what he did at the beginning and why he did that at the beginning. Because that's what you should do as a leader. If you got people reporting to you, at the beginning, you should give some role clarity. You should give some expectations. This is what I expect of you. This is where we're going. This is where we want to go. That's what leaders should be doing. People shouldn't find out down the road, okay, what are you expecting me now? And it shouldn't be no issue that when you start evaluating people on the backside, it was clear up front what you were expecting, what their responsibilities and their roles were. And I mean that in a general way today. We'll get more specific. Now, I want you to turn to your handout because we're going to be giving you handouts. And I think you all got a manual. And every time we meet, you're going to be putting information in. We're going to begin our training or development talking about strategic planning. The second page, I won't even go through it. It's just some general information, some things the Spirit of God said to me. The reason why we selected, and by the way, Melinda White and Stephanie Henry is a part of the team, and Vyesha is a part of the team. And so the reason why we selected strategic planning up front, because you would think, well, let's talk about the leader, role of the leader and all that. But it's the beginning of the year, and we thought that if we got to the end of, down the road, and then we start talking about setting goals and all that, it would be kind of late. So we decided to start with this. So you can turn over to, only thing I want you to notice on number 7 is that the Lord told me to keep it simple. That's the mandate that I have in this training thing. I read all kinds of books, and then I try to decipher it. I ask the Spirit of God to help me to break it down. Because I want this leadership program to be where a person doesn't have to be a degree person to understand it. But just like any endeavor, there are going to be moments when you may feel like this is a little deep, or this is what, you just hang in there, just same way you hang in your classes when you were paying that money to go to them classes. You didn't always understand everything, but you can ask questions and you're going to get it. Come on, say, I'm going to get it.
I'm going to get it.
So my goal is, we may study books and may read some books together. I didn't want to start off doing that because sometimes when you start off reading a book, you get the simple and the complex and the deep and the shallow, and I ain't want you to try to weed through that. I want to weed through it because I don't want this to be deep. I don't want this to be where folk leave, and I don't understand that, no. So that's why I'm kind of staying away from books right now, because sometimes you can get great concepts, but then it can take you all over the place. And then sometimes people leave a little, overwhelmed. So on the next page, on page 3, the three components of strategic planning. If you remember, we shared with you one strategy, and I said that I was working on the other two. So strategic objective, strategy, and execution are the three components of a strategic planning process. And so we're going to start today with strategic objectives. We're not going to finish today, but we're going to start. The components of strategic objectives is to identify the objectives, limit the number of objectives that you try to approach, prioritize the objectives, and then evaluate them. That's an overview of establishing strategic objectives. So turn over, and all we're going to be talking about today is strategic objectives. You're on page 4? Strategic objectives are concrete initiatives that the organization seeks to reach the results the organization needs or wants to achieve. Everybody understand that? An objective is what you want to achieve, or the results you want, or the needs you want. Do everybody understand that? Yes. When we talk about an objective, wave at me if you understand that. I'll say amen. Okay. Now, the first key to establishing an objective, whether it be in the church-wide, or whether it be in your departments, your areas, or anywhere, is to identify the strategic objectives. You got to identify what you're going to be shooting for. That's the first thing. Identify the objectives. And what I did, I tried to think through, okay, if we're trying to come up with objectives for the church, or objectives like the bridge or whatever, different things for the church, how do we go about doing it? And then how, as a leader, would you go about trying to establish objectives that you're going to target? And I came up with 7. Come on, say 7. I came up with 7 ways to establish initiatives. 7 ways to establish initiatives, 7 ways to establish some goals. And the 7 are mentioned. And the very first one is you look at the vision of the organization, the mission of the organization, the values of the organization, and whatever objectives you establish has to be consistent with your vision, your mission, your values. You can't establish objectives that are inconsistent with your vision, your mission, your values. But the key to that is you got to know what your vision, the mission, and the values are. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Now, Melinda has something she wants to do. Melinda, Stephanie, and whenever y'all come up and y'all leading something, will you all please identify yourself and let everybody know who you are? Because Vyesh is over HR, so she may see things that we need to do in our development and in training as a part of this. She also have maybe other things that she want to bring to the table. Who are you?
And we're excited to be teaming with Pastor this for this year.
And who is she? Who are you?
My name is Stephanie Henry, and I am the Curriculum and Training Manager of Education and Development.
Will you say it again? Because I didn't hear you.
I'm sorry. My name is Stephanie Henry, and I am the Curriculum and Training Manager of Education and Development.
Okay. So this basically, bam, 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 we're kind of like a team. I have lessons. I'm thinking through what I think we need. A big part of their assignment in this arena, my mentoring sessions is to bring some practicality to it. In other words, it's not just be what we did the first time, first hour. There's going to be practical stuff that we need to do to actualize these things. Yes.
Pastor just got through talking about strategic objectives, and one of the ways to do that is that we have to identify what the vision, the mission, and the values are. Now, we're all leaders in here, right? So it's important that, and some of us will be going back in our departments, and we will be developing strategic objectives in our own area. Well, he made the statement that they have to be aligned with the organization's vision, mission, and values. So we're all leaders, and I know all of us in here, we know what the vision of Faith Chapel is, we know what the mission is, we know what the core values are, and we know what the three strategic initiatives are for 2012. Pastor spent a whole year talking about the vision of Faith Chapel Christian Center. So the first thing I like to do is just have a volunteer to come up and give an overview of what our vision is. And everybody should be jumping up doing that. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody. Remember, Pastor's evaluating. So if it's easy, you need to
call
me.
Did you hear what Ernest said? He said, I'm going to come here so you won't be calling on me.
The vision of Faith Chapel is to grow people up from where they are to where God wants them to be, which is to just be.
Okay. Cool. And that's very good. Okay. All right. Anybody else want to? That's just be. Okay. Our vision can be summed up in just be. Just be what, though?
Okay. Just be worship, word, and witness.
Thank you, Ernest. Anybody want to add to that? Anybody want to add to the vision of Faith Chapel? Okay, our lives are to just... Okay, Alondio, I'm sorry.
Well, there's two components of it, and Pastor did the first component last year. He said that there were two sides of it. One is who you are, and the other side is what we do.
Oh, that's good. Okay, anybody else? Yes, Minister Jermaine.
I'm Jermaine. I'm the Director of Operations, Business Operations. Actually, our vision has three entities as well.
Okay.
Right. We've also got our outreach component, which is my
question. Very good. Very good. So does anybody want to sum up everything that was just said? Mike. Yes, Michael K.
Michael K. Moore, Vice President. And our vision is to grow you up through God's word to just be that you depends on what part of the vision you're talking about. Overall, Faith Chapel has a three-part scope: local, community, and global. And the you that we grow up through God's word depends on the part of the scope that you're talking about.
Okay, very good. That's very important for us to know as we are developing our organizations or our departments. We have to know the vision of Faith Chapel Christian Center. So I wanted to do that exercise so we could get a pulse on where we are. And since you, Ernest, were the first one to volunteer, we have a little giveaway for you. Thank you, Sharon, if you're giving that. Core values are very important to the organization of Faith Chapel Christian Center, and we're trying to develop a culture where everything we do, we emanate from our core values. So if someone would like to come up and tell us what our core values are, but not just tell us what our core values are. Sharonita Reese, the CVO. Let's give it up for Sharonita Reese.
Yeah, I think I should be able to do this since I'm the Chief Values Officer. I'm Sharonita Reese. The first core value is we value the word. We believe that it is a living guide to everyday life, so you should be using it on your job, measuring everything through the word. We value people. It's God's priority, so it should be your priority too. Teamwork, we is better than and greater than me, and we value excellence, giving God our very best.
All
right. Okay. What did you say? I didn't hear you.
Did she hit all of them?
That's what I was trying. You did?
Yes, she did. She did,
Mom. Oh, she did. Oh, okay. I'm sorry, Sharon. I thought she missed we value food, but anyway, go ahead and give her. Thank you, Inga. We have a little giveaway for you. It's three little giveaways in there. Ernest trying to steal all three. No, I'm just teasing. And the last thing, Michael Kay met with everyone last year, and he talked about the three strategic objectives or initiatives for 2012, what the organization is going to be focusing on. If someone would like to come up and give us what our three strategic initiatives are for 2012, that would be great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Okay, Rachel. I'll get to your question in a minute, Minister Deb. Okay.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Holt, and I am the administrative coordinator for the care department. Go care. The three strategic initiatives for 2012 is the bridge, infrastructure, and the journey.
Very good. Can we give Rachel? I'm sorry. Can we give Rachel a gift? Minister Deb, the reason I didn't do mission is because we had a budget to give away three gifts. And so we did vision. Because the vision is very important. And I thought we might know the mission because we've been saying it for a while. We had a song, We Are Ministry of Excellence.
No. I think we need to do
okay,
it.
Okay,
we need to do
okay.
That. And she...
Okay, Michelle. Yes, ma'am. Woohoo! Excellent. Let's give her a hand. I got something for you. You can come by my office, Michelle.
We're going to give her something.
Yes, you can come by my office.
I got a question about the mission statement, and you can't shout it out. And we may end up giving more gifts.
Okay.
You just have to find them.
All right.
Okay. Faith Chapel Christian Center is a ministry of excellence. So what is that saying about us? What is that a reference to? Yes. In one word, what does it reference?
Our standard.
Huh? Who
we are as a church.
Okay.
Excel.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Standard.
We're a ministry of excellence. That's our
standard.
Our standard is excellence. We know that's a core value, but we're talking about the mission statement. We're a ministry of excellence. That's our what?
Standard.
Impacting nations reference, one word.
Scope.
Yes. No. Yes. That's the scope. Scope. Remember, Naomi won. Okay. We're a ministry of excellence. That's our standard. Impacting nations is our scope with a practical message of faith references. One word.
Message.
Huh?
Message.
Yes.
Our method.
Okay. Got it? Got her? Uh-huh. Okay. Faith Chapel Christian Center is a ministry of excellence. That's our standard. Impact the nations is our scope. With a practical message of faith is our method. Empowering word-hungry people, it reference what?
Our target.
To experience and exemplify the God quality of life is our goal or our objective. That make sense to y'all?
Yes.
Got it?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Pastor's going to go ahead now, I think, and talk about it, but we just wanted to find out how smart you were, and we see that you are, and how important it is to know that as you're developing strategic objectives for your area.
Good. I want to look at these seven things, and then we're going to do an exercise for the rest of the way. when you're establishing an initiative, there's seven ways to establish an initiative. Number one, you want to consider the vision, the mission, and the values. You don't want to ever establish goals or objectives or initiatives that take you outside of your vision and your mission and your values. Number two, prayer should always be a part of you establishing an initiative. Scripture says, in all our ways to acknowledge him, and then he'll direct our path. You don't want to establish initiative. That's whether you're in church or not. But especially in a church environment, you want to find out what God wants you to do. Thirdly, mandates from God. We have to always consider mandates from God. Now, in our organization, those mandates will come from me. In other words, I'll come in and I'll say, well, God wants us to do this. And I put an example there, sister church in smaller units rather than larger ones. That was a mandate from God. So when we establish small groups as a part of what we wanted to emphasize, introducing small groups this year, that is totally consistent with a mandate that came from God. Now, mandates will take precedence over anything. If God tells us he wants us to do this, we're just going to do it. Number four is directives from those in authority. And here again, being in leadership development, this program does not change. It does not change the fact that you're under people and the fact that you must submit to authority. So if, for example, you are a manager over something, but you have a director or a supervisor, and they talk to you about what they want to see in the area that you're overseeing, then that becomes a part of your initiative because that's something you receive from the authority that's over you. Does that make sense? And then number five, sometimes initiatives are derived from team collaboration, teams getting together, teams brainstorming and coming up with things that need to be done. And then number six, research and analysis. Research and analysis. I give you an illustration. Melinda and I talked about this one because this may seem a little fuzzy to you, but establishing the growth track is one of our goals this year, to begin the work framework for a growth track for our church. Well, Melinda is going to be leading that thing, so much of what we decide, now she can't decide on how this growth track is going to be by herself, but she has to do the groundwork for us. It's under her area. She's got to do the research. She's got to do the analysis. She got to get in there and get the information. And then once she get the information, she'll bring that information back to us. And then based off of the research and analysis, for the most part, we're going to come up with how we're going to approach it. So research and analysis is also a part of it. And then number seven, a SWOT analysis. A SWOT analysis. Now, I want to talk a little bit about that because this analysis is a part of the vernacular that I want you to become familiar with and also embrace. Say SWOT analysis.
SWOT analysis.
Say SWOT analysis.
SWOT analysis.
I'm going to be meeting with the people that report directly to me. And Sharon Nita sent out a kind of a list of certain things that we're going to be dealing with. And if I'm not mistaken, all of you had on your list that I want a SWOT analysis. A SWOT analysis. So this is something that we got to become familiar with. Everybody in the organization has to become familiar with it. It's a part of us thinking like a leader. It's a part of us thinking through. If you ever bring me a proposal, I may say, did you do a SWOT analysis on this? I may ask you questions based off a SWOT analysis. A SWOT, SWOT, is a review, is basically a review of an organization's strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. The benefits of a SWOT analysis is this. You end up looking at the top issues, issues that you can, number one, leverage. And the issues that you will be leveraging will be your strengths and your opportunities. But the benefit of a SWOT analysis also help you to stop or overcome, minimize, or avoid certain things that can undermine you. So you're thinking through. So let's look at the S stands for strength, distinctive, positive things. That's basically what it boils down. Distinctive, positive things about the church. What are distinctive, positive qualities about the church? What do we do well? Distinctive qualities about your leadership. What do you do well? Distinctive qualities about your department. So we want to capitalize on our strengths, don't we? Capitalize on organization strengths. Look at the things your organization, the department, the ministry, the church is already doing well and is already positively known for within the congregation or the community. It could be staff. It could be the location of the church. It can be the hours of operation. But what are we strong at? What are we known for doing well? What do people recognize us as doing well? Strengths. Weaknesses or deficiencies or problems. And remember, it covers an organization, it will cover a department, or it can cover you. Because I want you to do a SWOT analysis on yourself. Do one on yourself. Weaknesses. What are the deficiencies? What are the problems? What are the things we're not good at? We want to improve our weaknesses. We want to improve them. Improve the organization weaknesses. Rather than denying or ignoring weaknesses, we want to address them with bold and purposeful action. Now, that's why I qualified the statement that I made in portion one. And in the first part of the teaching today, I said, I'm not going back. Remember when I said, I'm not going back? I said, I'm not going back. I said, it's 2012. But I don't know if you heard me. I qualified. I said, we will look at our areas that we need to deal with presently. So we're not going to ignore or deny our weaknesses. We're going to address them with bold and purposeful action. The process of establishing strategic objectives must include honest how-to discussions to either improve or totally eliminate weaknesses. See this time of planning as an opportunity to bring improvement to a struggling or under-resourced program. This may also be the time to narrow the focus and reduce the number of things the organization or department is attempting to do by eliminating some projects and programs. So when we evaluate our weaknesses, we may see that we need to just eliminate some things. There may be some things we don't need to try to improve. We may need to just get rid of. So you want to be evaluating whether it's your leadership, whether it's the department, whether it's the organization, areas of weaknesses. And then, and I got a note there, the strengths and weaknesses are internal to the organizations and relate to the present situation. When you think about strengths and weaknesses, you're thinking about the present situation. Now, opportunities... Something favorable to your business. Something that's favorable to your business. especially in the world outside of your business, that you can leverage? What can we leverage? What can we take advantage of? We want to maximize the organization's opportunity, look at the advantages, new opportunities, present, and make every effort to maximize those opportunities. On the other hand, you may be able to take an existing program and expand it or develop a whole new approach to some unmet need that you have identified as an opportunity. So you want to always be looking for opportunities to leverage things. And you want to always look for opportunities to do it better. See, if we can get everybody in the organization to think through and ask yourself, okay, we've done it like this. This is the way we've done it. But every leader needs to be thinking, are there any opportunities for us to take it to another level? Are there any opportunities for us to do it better? Is there a better way to do this? We got to have everybody on every level thinking like that. And then finally, threats are those things that could have a negative impact on the business. Those things that can have a negative impact on your leadership style. In fact, your leadership style can be a threat. Your leadership style can be a threat to your success. What's a threat? You want to identify those external factors that could have a negative impact on the organization and make internal adjustments which address the threat. Opportunities and threats are external to the organization and relate to changes in the environment that will affect the business. Sometimes there are things that happen on the outside of us that can serve as a threat to us accomplishing our goals. For example, if we're in this community, but all of a sudden people start moving out of the community, that's some outside of us ourselves, but it can end up being a threat to what we're trying to accomplish. Amen. So you want to match strengths with opportunities, and you want to convert weaknesses into strengths. Yes. It's similar.
This is something that we're doing before we do the thing you taught us before.
This is basically evaluating our situation to come up with initiatives. Some of it can be used when we get over into strategy. But I think it'll be simpler for us to think of a SWOT analysis because the SWOT is pretty easy to think about. And so I think if we can get that, the acronym, if we can get that into our thinking, everybody will be thinking, where are we strong? Where are we weak? Are there any opportunities? What could undermine us getting our goal accomplished? Let's do this. Melinda, why don't you come up? Because we're going to do some exercises, and then we can ask questions. We can do whatever we need to do to understand this, because we're not going any further than one, and that's identifying the initiatives. We're not going to get into prioritizing. We're not going to get into the other ones. All we're dealing with is just that number one. Are y'all with me when I said just number one?
Okay, we're going to do an activity on a SWOT analysis. Stephanie's going to lead us in an activity. You're going to get two handouts. One is we're going to do an organizational SWOT analysis, and then we're going to do a leadership or a personal SWOT analysis. And so as the handouts are going around, it's to kind of help guide us as we're coming up with our strengths, our weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And Stephanie's going to lead us in that. So if you can come on up.
All All right, I'm going to wait till everybody has the handouts. You should have two pages. The first page is going to say organizational SWOT. The second page will say personal SWOT, and we'll go in that order. All right, while the handouts are going around, make sure you have a working pen. All right, raise your hand if you do not have your set. Okay, praise the Lord. Well, again, I do want to bring your attention to page 4, where Pastor Mike was telling us in point A, there are many different reasons why you can do a SWOT analysis, but we're narrowing the focus, and the focus or purpose we're doing a SWOT analysis for is to identify strategic objectives. So I want that to be rolling around in your mind as we go through this, because you can do a SWOT analysis to set a goal, to evaluate your goal, to prioritize your goals, but we're focusing on what Pastor Mike has in point A, which is to identify what we want to accomplish. Also, I do want to say that Pastor Mike gave us the content. He gave us the meat behind a SWOT analysis, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And I'm here to do a practical application. How do we apply this? What does this look like? So in any classroom setting, you're going to have theory and content, and then you're going to have the practical application of it. How do I do this? What does this look like in my life? All right, so the first one we want to focus our attention on is the one that says the organizational SWOT analysis, and you should have that in front of you. All right, so our organization is Faith Chapel Christian Center. We're one large organization, and we are composed of smaller ones as well. We have departments, we have ministries, but for right now, I want you to think of us as a whole, one big, larger organization. So we're going to use the questions on this particular handout to kind of guide us. And first, I want us to do this individually. Then we're going to come together and put our points together as a whole. So as we go through this, some of us may think of similar things. Some of us may think of different things. So first, strengths. Guiding questions to get your mind thinking about what are some strengths of Faith Chapel Christian Center? What do we do well? And Pastor Mike mentioned this. What do you think we do well? Write it on your paper. another question to think about, what unique resources do we have? Okay, what do we have that are in-house? And this can be talent, knowledge, ability, skills, intangible, tangible resources, equipment. What do we have? What resources do we have that's a strength for us? What do others see as our strengths? So now you're looking at us internally and externally. Another question to think about, and you can reread these as you're going through this. I'm just going through the four questions because we're focusing on strengths right now. What areas of our organization are vibrant and healthy? You may think that this is similar to question 3, and maybe you don't, but remember that internal and external exit. So first we're looking at it as, okay, I'm an employee of Faith Chapel. What do I think we do really well? What do I think we are very good at? And then if I'm a member, if I'm a vendor, if I'm an outside customer, if I'm a resident of the city of Birmingham that doesn't go to Faith Chapel, what do I think Faith Chapel does well? So you can look at it from those different aspects. So we're focusing on strengths as of now.
Good job.
Take about 2 to 3 minutes. Another point I want to bring out, thank you for asking that question, do not write a book, okay? I know the square is not that big, but we want you to think of quick bullet points, okay? You kind of get bogged down in details if you kind of write a dissertation. So we don't want your dissertation on Faith Chapel Strengths. We want you to do those quick bullet points that we can all grasp a hold of here in this setting. All right, you don't have to wait on me. If you are, you know, done, you have about 3 to 5 strengths and you think that's good and you're ready to move to the next section, weaknesses, you can go ahead. I'm going to just give maybe another minute on strengths, but if you're ready to move on, you can go ahead and read the next section and I'll catch up with you, that those of you that are ahead. All right, weaknesses. If you look, we have some other guiding questions. Now, think of things that we do not do well, things we need to improve on, as Pastor mentioned. So one question is, what can we improve on? What are some areas that we all know, you know what, we can do a little bit better in that area? Second guiding question, where do we have fewer resources than others? A third guiding question, what are others likely to see as our weaknesses? So again, looking at us as an internal person, an employee, and then as an external person viewing us from the outside, what are others likely to say, you know what, Faith Chapel needs to do better on that? All right, opportunities. If you look in the bottom left-hand corner of your page, you see opportunities. Some of the guiding questions, what good opportunities are we open to? You know, are we open to opportunities? Do we see them? Do we acknowledge them? So what are some things going on in our particular unique market that can be an opportunity for us? What trends can we take advantage of? What's out there in the climate of our market, which would be Christianity as a church? What are some trends going on right now in the world, in the market, in our area that we can take as an opportunity to leverage, to take advantage of? And then the third question for opportunities, how can we turn a strength that we have into an opportunity? How can we make something new and wonderful happen? All right, the last area is threats. And these are things that can do us harm, that can stop our growth, that can make us go backward and not forward. So some guiding questions. What trends can do us harm? What are other groups or organizations doing that we're possibly not doing or not taking advantage of that can cause us to go backward and not forward? The third one, what threats do our weaknesses expose us to? So now you can connect it back to a weakness that can eventually become a threat. I'll give us about one more minute. I always like it when classrooms are quiet. I say, I see the wheels turning. I can see the wheels turning. It usually happens during test time in my class, but yeah, okay. All right, praise the Lord. Are you ready? All right, let's start with strengths. What are Faith Chapel's strengths? What are we doing just excellently, outstanding, very well? I think I saw Blaine's hands first or somebody in that area. Oh, I'm sorry. Just give me one. Give me the best one from your strengths box. Okay, facilities. Mr. Anderson. Ministering of the word. Trying to get some. Mr. Thomas. How we value people. You probably can't see this, but okay. Mr. Rogers, storm recovery efforts. Does that mean you want me to call on you? I like you for taking the initiative, Mr. Harris, Minister Harris. Paying bills, paying the, oh, okay, okay, okay. What was that, financial integrity? Okay. I don't know if I'm writing fast enough. Okay, Ms. Coleman, I'm sorry. Okay. Mrs. Kenitha Moore. Okay, Ms. Kruger. Okay, a large number of tithers. Mr. Rogers. Oh, Ms. Woods? Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that great minds think alike. Okay. Okay. Mr. Macon? Okay, we embrace change. Mr. Hill. Teamwork. Watch my time. Mr. Taylor. Okay, our example, our us, how we operate, Ms. Malone.
We're taking the initiative to build infrastructure.
Okay, a strength is that we take initiative to build infrastructure. Take initiative. Minister Alondio Hill.
We start on time.
All right, praise the Lord. All right, does anyone have anything that you think is not represented? Ms. Bernie? We're dynamic. We are dynamic. We are not stagnant. All right, I think this is a good representation, I think. Okay, one more. Okay, we have a lot of talent in-house talent. Okay. All right, we're gonna move on. Okay, you're gonna be first on my next one, okay? Ms. Armstrong. Okay, we do a great job of ministering to children. All right, now that was the fun part, right? Looking at how strong we are, pumping our muscles. This is the fun part. Okay, weaknesses, areas that we are not so good in. Ms. Ann, Ms. Lockhart. In communication. Communication. Trying to see who I haven't called on. Miss Mays. Our location. Our physical location. Trying to think of someone I haven't called on. Minister Connie Blaylock. Parking. Praise the Lord. All right, Mr. McCall. Okay, our culture. Ms. Smith. Ooh, this is a weakness.
What'd she say?
Gotcha. Media and tech departments. PT. Miss Wilma Thomas.
Transportation for members who can't get here.
Transportation. Trying to see, is there someone else I have not called on? Miss Karen Edwards. The global piece. Mr. Nixon.
Maybe organization and the underutilization of resources.
Underutilized resources. And Ms. Barbara Morrow.
Speak up, Bob.
I think that we should teach computer and technology to those that don't know. I think we should have more classes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So we're weak in tech training. Mm-hmm. Ms. Gordon.
Identifying talent in the congregation.
Okay. We're weak at, okay. Mr. Gage.
How visual presence in the community.
Yeah. And Mrs. Kenitha Moore.
Young adults fellowships. We don't have enough for our young adults, 20 to 30.
And Minister Hill, Alondale Hill.
No one went to eliminate programs when they're outdated.
So purging outdated programs. Oh, I'm sorry, Ms. Williams.
Service options. We only have one service.
Okay. Looked one more time. Miss Ray.
Not having a daycare.
Okay. All right. Miss Holt.
Our process of execution.
Process of getting things done. So processes and procedures. Oh, okay. Was that? Oh, okay. All right. I think this is a good representation because we do have another activity. So I do want to move on. Sorry, I'm holding up the process. I'm learning a lot while I'm up here. So next one is opportunities. If you'll look on your opportunities page, Mr. Macon. Concerts and worship. Ms. Moore?
Technology.
Ms. Harris? Ms.
Adding different services like Saturday services.
Opportunity, okay, is the ability to add services. Ms. Charlie? Okay.
What did she say?
She said making the word more accessible.
Y'all speak out because a lot of what you're saying is going to, other people need to hear it.
Ms. Hall?
Connected with other churches to do ministry.
We can't
hear.
She said connecting.
Y'all got to lift your voice up so other folk can hear.
She said connecting with other churches. Mr. Kirkpatrick.
YouTube.
Mr. Scruggs. Chris Scruggs, no? I'm sorry. Walker, I'm so sorry. I apologize. See, I try to learn names, but I failed. I'm sorry. Please forgive me.
Community outreach.
Minister Deborah Blaylock. I read her lips. She said, finally. Okay. So take advantage of the bridge that we have. Okay. Okay, live stream on Sunday. Okay, so you're saying, she says live stream on Sunday, and you say upgrade our live streaming.
Upgrade and live streaming.
Okay. Upgrade live streaming. I'm sorry, I was trying to give everybody a chance to respond. Ms. Reese.
Leveraging the number of college campuses.
Okay, leveraging our college campuses. And Minister White. Okay. I know, I was trying to think. Okay, Ms. Xantha Walker. See, you didn't give me time to see when students can respond, you have to give them about 1 to 2 minutes, but that's okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Connecting with our Hispanic
community. Okay. Ms. Thomas?
I don't know where this would fall, but have our own radio station, that technology, so when the members approach a certain vicinity coming on campus, we can put out some of this FCN and information we want them to hear.
Okay, our own media outlets, such as a radio station. Ms. Coleman.
More directional signage to the church.
Okay, more signage. Okay, my time is getting away. I'm gonna have to go to the next one. I'm sorry. Okay, threats. Okay, Mr. Harrison. Mr. Rogers? The separation thereof? Oh, and that's a threat, okay. Separation of TV fam is true. Mrs. Kenitha Moore?
Not connecting with the people.
Okay. Ms. Kruger?
Lack of multi-sites.
Mr. Spann, Minister Spann.
Lack of emphasis or focus on our youth.
My hand running getting kind of bad. Miss, Burrows, Miss Burrows, okay, you said timing that we get things done, okay, timing in which we get things done. Mr. Macon?
Service times.
Service times. Minister White?
Not leveraging technology the way we should.
Minister Kenty?
Not changing with a changing church culture.
Stagnant.
Not what now?
Not changing with a changing church culture.
Not moving fast enough. Ms. Smith?
Competing with
Okay. Competition outside the church. Okay, I'm gonna take one more, Mr. Harris.
I think getting too relaxed with the dress code. Too relaxed.
Is this for employees or in within the membership or just in general? Okay.
Get Blaine too, because Blaine had his hand up the whole time. I saw you, Blaine. I saw you, Blaine. But Blaine just gave up. He said, all right.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. Well, let me apologize because I know we are being
just
monitored.
One, just,
I was trying to get people
one,
who hadn't said anything.
Just get one person. Get Blaine.
Okay, Mr. Harrison. All right, we've done a SWOT analysis, and we've done it on the organization level. Now, at this point, we can take all this information and prioritize it. We don't have time to do that now, but a good thing for us to do would be like, okay, let's say we have 100 things here, and we do want to narrow the focus. So we would have to prioritize, okay, what is important for us in light of our 2012 strategic goals, in light of what we want to accomplish, in light of us. So that can be done at a later time, but this exercise was to get you in the mode of thinking through, as Pastor mentioned to us. So now we know how to look for our strengths, how to identify them, how to do the same for weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, and then later to apply them, filter them down within our different areas. So I hope this was informative to you as an application exercise on how to do this. Because remember, Pastor Mike mentioned that if you bring an idea or concept or project to him, he's going to say, did you do your SWOT analysis? Well, what came of it? How did it look? Tell me what came of that. So this was an exercise in that particular effort. Now we're going to move on to the personal one. We did one on an organizational level. Now we're going to look at ourselves personally. And you have that sheet with you. If you'll go ahead and begin on that.
And I want everyone to do one. Everybody do one. Want you what?
Yes.
Us here at work or at home or both?
You as an employee, as a Faith Chapel leader. So yes, not you as the husband, not you as the student, not you as the cook. You as an employee of Faith Chapel Christian Center. You as a leader of Faith Chapel Christian Center. All right, we've had some time to complete this. And we'll go on a volunteer basis. If I have a brave soul that would like to come up and share some of your personal strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threat, and if you could just give us one from each of the areas, we're not going to write them down, but if you are willing to share with the group so that we can all grow, I really appreciate it. Mr. Hill, if you would share, tell with us your primary strength, your primary weakness, your primary opportunity, your primary threat.
Sometimes taking too long to deal with certain situations.
Okay. We appreciate that. Thank you. Mr. Rogers?
So I just got to give one of each?
Yeah, one of each, please.
My primary strength would be proactivity. It's like quick to engage.
Can you repeat what he said for everybody can hear?
Okay, his primary strength is proactivity. Okay, he's getting it done ahead of time. Okay, when stress, shut down.
And explain what you need under opportunity.
Opportunity, an area that you can grow in. It could be a talent that you have that's not being utilized here at Faith Chapel Christian Center yet. It could be something that you see that can be done, a trend, with yourself. If you have a talent or skill or ability that is not being utilized at Faith Chapel, it can also be an area where you can improve, such as leadership. That's one example. Technical liaison, for those that didn't hear. Okay.
Like some ministries, they'll see the result.
Right.
But you still need a person to show you the A, B, and C on the technical end to pull it off.
Okay, a technical liaison for ministries.
And then again, on the tech side, all they see is just the equipment side. And you got to lock into how they can use the technology creatively.
Okay, I got, did you all hear that? Okay. And your last one, threats? Threat is burnout. Okay, I appreciate that. The hand I see behind Mr. Thomas.
As far as the strength I have, organization, organized.
Strength is organized.
A weakness I have is speaking in front of people.
Okay, speaking publicly is the weakness. Okay, opportunity to work with your an opportunity is working with others that are strong in those areas. Okay.
Threat is not having a voice in the organization, being able to have a voice or give a voice to what, you know, my strength is, I guess, to the organization if I'm not,
right.
Okay,
the threat is currently not having a voice to put that out there.
In other words, he's saying that his weakness is a threat. And a weakness can be a threat. His weakness can undermine his ability to be a successful leader.
Ms. Holt, and then Mr. Macon.
These are the ones I'm willing to share.
Praise the Lord. I know what you mean. Strength is administration.
Weakness is balance.
Weakness is balance.
Opportunity is confrontation.
Opportunity is confrontation.
And threats is becoming task-focused instead of people-focused.
Okay, the last one, the threat is being task-focused versus people-focused.
I think that is a good analysis. Mm-hmm. Because being task-oriented can become a threat to you being a success. And especially if you have an administrative strength, if that's a strength to you, then a strength can end up being a threat to you. On the one hand, we saw where a weakness can be a threat, but a strength can be a threat if you don't have self-awareness.
Mr. Macon? Okay, so your strength is creative and technical ability, as well as business edge. Okay.
We can't hear.
Like Rachel said, for his weakness, he said he can get tunnel vision when focused on a task.
Okay.
Opportunity. Okay, assisting with the creative approach for musical and technical objectives. Threat is people not knowing the talent and abilities that you have. Okay. Miss Inger Trix. Strength is engaging others, charismatic.
Weakness, lack of tidiness.
Weakness, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh. Weakness is lack of tidiness plus me, okay. Okay, your opportunity is that you create avenues for people to connect and get together. You can do that. Okay, that's an opportunity. And then the threat?
The threat is perceived or viewed as unorganized.
Okay, threat is perceived as unorganized. Mr. Hill?
That's a good one, because a perception can be a threat. And if there's a perception that people have to show their check stubs to join the church, that can be a threat, because there are people who may believe it. And if we're trying to reach people, perceptions become very important to us.
I believe I said, I saw your hand next. Mr. DeMarcus Hill. Mm-hmm. Strength is providing excellent service.
Weakness is sometimes a lack of balance.
Weakness is lack of balance.
Opportunities I can provide is event
coordination. Opportunity is event coordination.
And then a threat sometimes could be a lack of communication.
And then a threat is lack of communication. Ms. Karen Edwards. Strength is lots of vision.
Weakness is just fear attacking me and feeling small.
Okay. A weakness is feeling small. For example, fear.
Mm-hmm. Opportunities, reaching and bringing in other cultures and connecting us to other cultures.
Okay. Opportunity is connecting us to other cultures. The threat is overcoming the battle with fear and weakness.
That's good.
Ms. Kathleen.
What we'll do is, as long as she's here, then she'll come back and reiterate it.
Okay, her strength is loving people and caring for people.
My weakness is being more assertive.
Weakness is being more assertive.
I'm gonna help you with that.
A Okay, the opportunity is, say that one more time.
Consistent training.
Consistent training.
Mm-hmm. And my thinking.
Your threat is the way you think. Okay.
That's good. You know, your thinking can be a threat.
All right, I'll go to Ms. Woods and then Mr. Anderson. Ms. Woods.
My strength is I'm empathetic.
Strength is empathetic.
Uh-huh. And my weakness is I'm easily intimidated because of my position.
Okay, weakness is easily intimidated due to the position.
And my opportunities is I help others when I see them in need.
Okay, opportunity is helpful in assisting to others. Threat is not having a voice. Okay. Mr. Anderson?
Strengths are attitude and teaming.
Strength is attitude and teaming.
Weakness is saying no.
Weakness is saying no.
Opportunities are leadership possibilities that pastor will begin.
Okay. Opportunities are leadership opportunities that will come
will
later.
Come, mm-hmm. Come. Doing a lot, but may not be doing the right thing.
Threat, doing a lot of things, but maybe not the right things. Okay, I don't see a hand, I'll go. Strength is... I'm trying to see which one I want to say. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, a strength is I can plan well, have a solid understanding of teaching and learning. Weakness is I do wait till the last minute to do things. Opportunity is I can teach technology classes. Threat is I can miss opportunities by not not waiting to the last minute, in other words.
Good. That's good.
Ms. Pastor Miriam?
Strength, I would say developing creative ideas.
Strength is developing creative ideas.
Listening and follow-through.
Weakness is listening. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so I'm sorry. Okay, strength is creating creative ideas and listening. Those are all strengths. And then the weakness.
My weakness is procrastination and taking on too many tasks.
Procrastination and taking on too many tasks, that's the weakness. Okay, opportunity is to develop the bridge into a premier worldwide something. Worldwide known facility and premier provider of social services and activities.
Threats?
Due to taking on too many tasks, burnout and stress under threats. Okay. I saw a hand, Ms. Coleman. Strength is service oriented.
Weakness is work too much.
Weakness is work too much.
Opportunity. I got work too much and too focused. Kind of like I'm task oriented.
Okay.
I'm both on the task. And opportunity is working with other people so they get to know me better.
Okay. An opportunity is to work with others so that they can know you better so you can connect. Okay.
Okay. That can be a threat.
Threat is perceived as mean and unengaging. Okay.
We probably got to wrap it up.
Yeah, this was very helpful. I hope everybody grew, and I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Mike.
Will you give Stephanie and whatever her name is again? Here's what I want you to do. I would like for you to look up at me, please. I would like for you to sign your personal SWOT analysis and pass it up to me. I want it for me. I'll give it back to you. I'll give it back to you, but I'm going to look at it. I don't want you writing nothing on it. I don't want you to write nothing on it except your name. I don't want you to add nothing. Huh? You can date it. You can put your name and date, but I don't want you to add no qualities or no nothing on it. I just want what you to put down there, because I want to look at it. And then we'll get it back to you. We'll get it back to you. I want to ask a couple of questions. And you can just kind of path it down one way. And we got people going both sides, path down one way. And then I'm going to ask you I just want the personal. That's the personal one. And I want you to put your name on it. And you can date it if you want to date it. And I'll get it back to you. It's really just for me. It ain't for nobody else. It's just for me. It's a couple of questions. Why do you think the first exercise was important, doing a sweat analysis on the organization? Why do you think that was important? Anybody? Yes.
I think it was important because it gave us, the employees, a voice to share what we experience or what we see day to day, what we actually think the organization is.
Anybody else? Why was it important?
I think it was important for you because you can't see everything that goes on in the detail level.
Okay. Yes, Michelle?
It starts to engage our thinking.
Starts to engage our thinking. One more person, yes.
If we can think about the organization, which is a little further detached from us personally, then we can look at ourselves in a different way.
Okay. I think I want to keep that, what we did on the organization, although these exercises are not something necessary we're going to walk out and try to do something about. What we're trying to do in the exercise is to get you in to understand the concept and involve the concept. Not necessarily we're going to take everything you put up on there. So you don't leave and say, well, I put all that stuff and they ain't do nothing about it. It's an exercise to develop you in knowing how to do it. There are a couple of things I want to say about doing that exercise is, and this will come out in our training. I think, this is my vantage point, I think that good leaders collaborate. I think that setting initiatives should be a collaborative effort. The people that I have report to me, I don't just have a list of things and here's the list, now you go out and do it. I don't think that's great leadership. I think anybody who's over people and don't get any input from them is not going to be a very successful leader. I don't think it's you getting in a cubbyhole and praying about it and come up with all this stuff. I think that a leader needs input from the people. And so when you set initiatives, there should be something that you have on your heart you want to see done. You always have that right. But if that's all you're doing is what you came up with, that's not leadership. That's not leadership. There's no leadership involved in it. Great leaders collaborate with followers to get insight on what's going on. The flip side of that is the reason why this is important for you to have a systematic way of being able to think through is that followers need to have a proper way to give insight other than a complaint. Y'all don't like this, y'all don't like that. See, nobody's going to ever listen to you like that. See, nobody's going to listen to you like that if it's just a complaint. You know what I mean? Or just a murmur, just a grunt, whatever. So a SWOT analysis give you, if you're under somebody, a systematic way of being able to communicate what you see and your ideas and your concerns. So I'm encouraging all leaders to collaborate with people who are under you and not just give them a list of what we're going to do. Get some ideas, find out what's going on. It's helpful for you to hear what the people that's following you think is a strength, think is a weakness, think is an opportunity. And they may come up with things you never thought about because they are looking at it from a different perspective. So I think that was important. Why do you think the exercise was important on you doing a SWOT analysis on your own self as a leader? Why was that important? Yes.
Self-evaluation,
yes.
Well, you said leaders need to be self-aware.
Need to be self-aware.
Point of reference from which to grow and develop.
Point of reference, which, you know, that's good to know where are you going, yes. Yes. Self-awareness is critical to being a leader. You can't be walking around and you don't know yourself. You're not in touch with yourself. You don't have an idea of where you're strong at, where you're weak at. In fact, there's a section that we're going to do. It's all about self-awareness. I mean, the whole thing is about self-awareness so you can understand how you lead. You need to know how you lead. You're going to get in touch with most people, the way we were trained is how we lead. And so we need some self-awareness. Another reason why I wanted you to do that is because I am expecting more from you. I'm going to expect more from you. It's going to be very difficult for you to come and just get a paycheck. You're not just going to punch a clock. You're not just going to punch a clock. You're not just going to do your little thing, go about your business. I'm really going to be expecting more from you. So I think it's on my part to try to work to give you more to work with. That's two sides of it. I can't expect more and don't give more. But I am going to be expecting more. What got you here may not get you forward, may not take you forward. So if you're kind of drifting, if you kind of got this thing down while you know how to do what you do and you just kind of come in, drift in and kind of do your little thing, kind of drift on out, it's not going to work. It's really not going to work. You're going to have more expectation, more pressure on you. You have to apply yourself. You got to take what we went over today and look at it sometime. You got to think about it. If you don't, you're going to get left behind. You're really going to get left behind. You've got to grow. You've got to grow. You got to be better than you've been. You got to add more value than what you've added. So it can't be just a drifting along. So please take this. Please don't just throw your little manuals, you know, away until you get back here the next time. Don't do that. In between these times, you need to look over it. Think about what I said in those introductory. Go back and look at your notes and stuff like that. And it's not just about Faith Chapel. It's not just about Faith Chapel. It's about where God wants to take you. And who knows where that is? Who knows what you're going to be doing 5 years from now? Who knows what you're going to be doing yet? This may be God getting you ready for something. But who knows what that is? So here's what I discovered about any learning experience. The people who apply themselves, they grow in things. It's just like when you go to school. Some people just drift. They go to school, they sit at the thing, they listen, they take a few notes, never look at it, go back, and all they want is a C. If they can get a C and get out of that class, they fine. That's all they want. If you apply yourself, this can be an amazing experience for you. It can be an outstanding experience for you. Because I can see where God want to take you. I can see it. I see it. God want to take you places you've never been before. But you've got to be ready for it. You've got to be prepared for it. God doesn't do things haphazardly. Many of you are praying for breakthroughs. You're praying for God to use you. You're praying for increase. You're praying for all these things. There is something you have to give toward it. The difference between this and when you went to college is you were paying money. So you were paying money. This thing, you're going to have to do something outside of this. You just got to do something outside with this. And it can just be absolutely amazing. I'm telling you, trust me on this. Trust me on this. God is preparing you for something special. So you've got to apply yourself. You can't just go through the motions on it. Okay? Okay? Okay. I love you very much. I'm going to give it my best shot. Any feedback you want to give me, but remember, this is just one lesson. Ain't no way in the world we can cover everything in one time. We'll just take our time, and all we're talking about is objectives right now. That's all we're talking about. We ain't talking about all the other stuff. We're just talking about objectives. Anything else, sweetheart? Anything else? Okay. I love y'all. See y'all next Tuesday.